abound.
Oh, let me be among the saints.
Your thoughts around. Lord, please deserve a mansion, robe, and crown.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good. That didn't sound too good. Do you love God? Do you really love God? Sing it with me if you love God. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what. Yes, thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me
the victory.
And that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, he watches over me, and you don't. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave
me the
yes. And that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord, and you don't know what he's
done for me.
Yes. Oh, yes, he
gave me the victory.
And that's why I love. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning at the Fifth Ward Church, you are truly our honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope that we can say something that may touch your spirit, touch your heart, that will encourage you this morning. If you need to talk to someone, if you need to pray with someone, if you have a question, call a number on your screen and we'd be glad to minister to you even this day, the Lord's day. But we'd love to see you one day here physically, if you are able to come to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, body of Christ. So just good to be here. Good to be alive. You count your blessings? We are blessed. We are blessed. I know there are some things that we can complain about, but it's not going to help if you complain anyway. You might as well thank God for your blessings. It'll help you to feel better if it don't do nothing else. We started a lesson series last week entitled The Solid Rock Foundation Series. So we're in lesson two today. Actually, it's a continuation of the series that we did a couple of years ago. I stated last Sunday that I try at the beginning of the year to give foundational lessons. Our theme this year, anybody know, is wiser, kinder, stronger in 2016. We're going to be elaborating on that theme using the Word of God as we go through the year. If the Lord says the same, we make it through the year. But we want to give some foundational lessons because we want to be growing servants. Christians who are growing in grace, favor with God, growing in knowledge, and we want to make sure our feet are planted solid on the ground. Because there are all kinds of winds of doctrines that are being taught, and everybody is not teaching the truth. Amen. And I don't have to see one thing. We don't have to bash folks, but we need to teach the truth.
Amen.
And we need to stand on the truth, and we need to teach the truth in love. But you can't teach what you don't know.
Yeah.
Last week we started with Abraham, and for. With Abraham, I just wish one brother came to Brother Gary. You just can't cover all of this stuff in the pulpit, and he's so right. We can't cover everything, but we can highlight some of it and hopefully give us a solid foundation in which we can build on and even study ourselves. We started with Abraham, and I'm just a brief review. We mentioned Adam back to the beginning, but we started at Abraham because it is in Abraham that our promise, we hear it. We verbally hear the promise in Genesis chapter 12. I read verse 2 and 3, Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And I will make you a great nation. That was God who promised to Abraham. And he called him out of his father's country, told you go to a place. And he says, Abraham, and I will bless you, specifically Abram at the time, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. Notice, I'm blessing you, Abraham, but not for just you yourself. You're going to be a blessing to, and that's how God works even today. You see, he blesses us, but he don't bless us just to keep it all to ourselves. And if we do God's will, folks around us going to be blessed automatically. Notice what else he says. He says, I'll bless those who bless you. Those who treat you well, Abraham, I'm going to treat them well just because they treated you well. Notice what else he says. And the one who curses you, I will curse also. Now, you know, some of us, we like to get our own revenge. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. God says, you do my will, and I'll take care of even your enemies. And I don't know about you, I need to hear that sometime. Because I know some folk I sure want to get back. I forgot I was preaching. I'm sorry. Listen to the rest of this verse, last part of this verse. And in you, here's our promise. Here it is to us. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You need to hear that foundationally. You need to know what God had in his mind. And as he rolls this, you really start seeing it. He rolls this plan out. And we are beginning to see where our blessings come from. And he says, I'm gonna bless all the families of the earth because one man listens and obeys God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The brother read in your hearing, and we'll start this lesson. Hebrews 1, 1. I'm on the time clock. God, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation and the King James. The brother read from the King James translation. He says, in sundry times. Listen, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, in many ways. And he says, in many portions and in many ways. When he spoke I have to do this because you need to know how the ages are identified in the Word of God. You know, the three dispensations. The first dispensation is a word that means the age or an era in the Bible. See, there are those who say the world is billions of years old, but they don't get that from the Bible. They say, I heard a scientist say that this rock and this tree is billions. Well, if you go to the Bible, and scholars will, many Bible scholars will attest to it. Some scientists won't agree with it. I find that those who want to say the earth is so old are those who uphold to this evolution theory because they want to give enough time because, you know, they say something came from nothing. We evolved. We are a monkey. A man evolved from a monkey, and it would take a long time for that to happen. But if you go to your Bible, this is not my lesson. You go to your Bible. This is your homework. Go to the book of Genesis. Start in Genesis chapter 5, if you will, and when it gives the lineage of Adam and the ages of Adam, and you see that Adam was 930 years old when he died. Now, God told him he was going to die after he and Eve ate the fruit. They just didn't die instantly. Then you see when you get down to the flood and get down to the last verse, I believe in Genesis chapter 5, maybe 32, you said Noah was 500 years old before he had his boys, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. This was before he built the ark. And if you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he says on the first day he created light, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And so I'm going to go with the Bible, and that the world started in our era, not God, but our era, that was the first day. And if Adam was 930 years old, and then there's a lot of overlap in chapter 5, then we get to chapter 9, we'll see that Noah was 950 plus years old when he died. And your homework is to go through and add up all that genealogy. Don't be laughing. And add up, now there's overlap in there, but you add the years up. And you'll see that this first dispensation, it's the patriarchal. The word patriarch, it means the father. It's the head of the household. And we go to Hebrews, it says, God who in sundry times, who long ago spoke to the fathers in the prophets. He spoke through the fathers, through the patriarch. That's why it's called the patriarchal period. It's from Adam all the way to the lawgiver, who is Moses. If you add the years up, it's about 2,500 years. And really, according to the Bible, the world is about maybe close to 6,000 years old, not a billion years old. And that's something for you to chew on. Google it or do whatever you want to do. But see how God works. And see this period, this patriarchal period. It is some call it the starlight period. Starlight period, because during this time God spoke directly to the heads of the household. We didn't have the Bible back then, and the Word of God and the written word. And he spoke through the fathers. The Bible would attest to it. He spoke through, and listen to Genesis 15:1. By the way, this lesson is entitled Starlight, Moonlight, Sunlight. Starlight was the patriarchal period. It's when there was light, but it wasn't as bright as the sun. Listen to Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Remember Abram last week? In a vision. The word came to Abram in a vision. Now, don't you be waiting on a vision for the Lord to speak to you today. Notice Hebrews 1:1, God who in sundry times long ago he spake to the fathers through the prophets. God is not speaking like that to us today. That's why there's a lot of confusion. Some of us say, well, the Lord gave me my lesson this morning. No, the Lord gives us the word so you can study the Bible to preach and teach your lesson. Amen, somebody. Listen, he spoke directly to Abram, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be great. Listen to Genesis chapter 46, verse 2. This is Genesis 46, 2. God spoke to Israel in visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. Israel was Jacob. Jacob's name was changed later to Israel. And he said, here am I. He spoke directly to him. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. Numbers 12, 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. During this patriarchal period, God revealed his will to man through the heads of the households, through the fathers. That's how he worked. There are other instances that he spoke directly. He spoke through the burning bush to Moses and delivered the word to Moses during this patriarchal age. We need you, see, in order to be pleasing to God, you better know what age you're living in. According to the scriptures, you better know what time it is. During this period, God commanded, notice this, during this patriarchal period, God commanded one thing of one person and another thing of another person. And they were not necessarily the same all the time. God told Adam and Eve, you eat the day you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God didn't say that to nobody else but Adam and Eve. I'm glad he didn't say it today. Amen, somebody. There are things that God dealt with people on, as in God told Abraham, you go and I'm going to sacrifice your son Isaac. God didn't tell anybody else to do that. He told Abraham to do that. Specifically, he told Abraham to do that. There are things that he told individuals in the patriarchal age, and if they did it, they were men of faith. If they didn't, God told Noah, I want you to go build an ark of gopher wood. God didn't tell anybody else to build an ark of gopher wood. And it was an act of faith, and he did it during this patriarchal age, during this starlight time, where he was revealing his will to the heads of the households to be revealed to others who would listen to them. But it was all right, because God, he did some mighty powerful miracles back then. And it was no excuse for them not to obey God, because God was good to them. He provided for them, and they had enough that they could obey God, but many of them still refused to obey God. This next dispensation, when he speaks of, he spoke through the fathers, through the prophets, to the fathers. The next dispensation is the Mosaic Age. It's the Mosaic Age. And that's when Moses gave the law of Moses. Moses, who was the lawgiver, who was appointed by God. It's about a 1,500-year period. Notice this is. And notice Moses went to the mountain in Exodus chapter 20, and he was given by God the Ten Commandments. And then God here expands his method of dealing with man. Instead of dealing with the fathers, he chooses a nation. That's where we started on last week. I'm elaborating on it as we go through this series a little bit more. He expands instead of speaking to the father. He selects a whole nation, and that nation is Israel, of which Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. Notice now, we call it the Moonlight Age. It's called the Moonlight Age by others because it seems like God is revealing more, but not all of his entire will to everybody. And Moses is, it seems like man is ready for more revelation, and they call it the Moonlight Age. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 3. Deuteronomy 5, 3. This, and each dispensation, notice this, this information was not revealed to the descendants of Moses, to those who came before Moses. Deuteronomy 5:3, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those who are us alive here today. As Moses said, God reveals this Ten Commandments to Moses, the children of Israel, but those who came before them, they didn't have this same law. They didn't have the same testament. They didn't have the same commandments. They didn't have the same rules. God can run the world any kind of way he wants to, can't he? Well, that's exactly what he's doing, whether we agree or not. This is God's will. Notice this now. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 22. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel. That's the statement that we made on last week, is that you need to know what dispensation that you're in. You need to know what commandments are intended for you and what commandments are not intended for you. There's a lot of religious confusion today because some folks trying to hold on to this old law, this law of Israel, and it's not for them. And the Bible makes it quite plain during this Mosaic age. He says, you yourselves have seen that I've spoken to you from heaven, and you shall not make other gods. This is what he's telling us. You shall not make other gods beside me. Look with a little G. Gods of silver and gods of gold. You shall not make yourselves. For yourselves, you shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you and bless you. You see what he was telling them? He says, oh, you will offer offerings to me. It will be an earthly offering. And he tells them specifically in other places in the Old Testament exactly what they, if they were at worship, if they were worshiping God, if we were back under the old law, then yesterday would have been our day to worship God. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath is the seventh day. It was the day of rest in creation. It was the day that God told the people of Israel to rest. It was the day that God told them to do so many things on the Sabbath. One of the things they couldn't do was work. Couldn't do anything on the Sabbath day. Well, Brother Gary, why we are not upholding that today is not for us. Go to the Bible, but in the New Testament, to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. For when Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. If you don't know you, if you don't, Brother Gary, I don't know if I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, and that's the law of Moses, who do not have the law, but we still have a law of God, he says, instinctively do the things of the law, these having not the law of Moses, are a law to the, everybody is accountable to God. Whether they were a Jew or a Gentile, their creator is God. And even though it's, but what about people who don't go to church? God has placed a moral law in all of us. And we know, have you ever seen a child, a little bitty child, and they may not be able to rationalize, and they may not be able to think objectively like grown-ups do, but a little child knows when they do something wrong after they get a little certain age. I'm gonna tell you something. I see my grandbabies now are 2 and 3, and I know they know when they do something wrong, cause I've caught them several times already, and they like sweets, they like cookies, they like ice cream, or they just like everything. But sometimes in the house, I hear the mother say, "No, don't do that. Kenzie, don't do that. Riley, don't do that. Riley, don't do that." And sometimes they pay attention to them, and sometimes they don't. But they know it because I've seen them. I'm sitting there playing. You know, they're not my children. I'm telling you, I'm loving this. I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna see what they're gonna do," and I just watch them. Yeah. I want to see how they're going to discipline their children. And they'll say, "Don't do that. Don't get that." And one of them will come in the room and bring, instead of asking their mother, they'll bring it to me. And they say, "Big Daddy." And they won't say open it, but they'll just put it in my face, you know. Put it right in my "Big Daddy." And I look, I say, "Big Daddy. Put it." And I'll say to them, "Did you ask Mama?" They're like, "Who, Mama?" They're 2 and 3. Act like I say go and ask your mother, make sure your mother, mother say you can eat it, and they act like they don't even know what I'm saying, and they put it back in Big Daddy, and I might say. Kia, you tell Riley here, and you know what they'll do? Leave it in my hand, just run out the room and start playing. Act like they haven't even brought it to me. I say, "Ooh, devil, get out of them." Now, where did that come from? We read scriptures with them and sing songs to them, but they're not comprehend enough to know have the Bible in them yet. But they know right from, see, when somebody don't have to ever go to church, and you have $10 in your wallet on your desk, and somebody take it from you. Or you take it from somebody else, you know that's wrong. Amen. And so there is no excuse for any human being in knowing what's right and what is wrong. But God institutes his law to a nation to demonstrate not only to the nation, but to the world, his moral, God's character, how he deals with man, what he expects of man, and how he blesses mankind. And it is up to us to make the decision. It was up to the Israelites to make their decision. And you know, when God started pouring all of his blessings on these people, and you could physically see them. I mentioned last week the emphasis on the physical under this dispensation of time, under this Mosaical age, when they built physical altars and they burnt physical incense in the worship service, and the priest wore robes, elaborate robes, and they brought bulls and goats, pigeons and turtle doves, and that was literal blood that was sacrificed at the altar, where all of these people could see God working, and they could physically see him. When he took them out of the land of Egyptian bondage, and he physically had a pillar of cloud over them by day and a pillar of fire by night, that 24 hours a day, that was a reminder that God is in our presence. To me, I can't fathom it. I can't fathom how they were murmuring and complaining and lying and cheating and doing all of these things, and God was in their presence. Amen. But that is exactly what they did, even this mosaic, during this mosaical age. Now, in the age before that, the patriarch age, evil, violence abounded, and it grieved God that he made me. And you know what happened? He allowed a flood to come to kill all mankind. And I'm just, Lord have mercy, how can people just go from bad to worse? But I tell you what, we know today that it can happen. Lord have mercy. And most of us are not just a banana peel away from being on the devil's side. The devil is busy. Temptation is on every hand. And through this old law, we get to see how people reacted when they knew God was in their presence. And we also get to see how inadequate we really are. We get to see the ugliness of sin. And we get to see how God hates sin, and we get to see what sin does to people's lives during this mosaical age. We get to see that we can't do this one by ourselves. Oh, that mercy. And you read the Old Testament and it's depressing. It really is. And there are victories, but then there's depression because, you know, you see God good, he blessed folk, and then they just forget about God. Anybody in here forgot about God? You see, notice, we have not gotten to the sunlight age. But one of the things that we see, what one advantage, I wish I was back there, and I do, I say it sometimes myself, I wish I was, boy, if God would have been performing those miracles, and if I would have been with Moses and they parted the Red Sea and walked on dry land, that's all I would have needed. Yeah, that's what you say. One advantage that we have is that we have the examples, and we can read about them, and we can see how God operated, and they didn't have the examples that we have to look at and read about. And we have that advantage over them is because, and see, notice this, some of those folk back then will be saved today because everybody didn't disobey God. It was always God, always had a remnant. Let me go to the Christian age right now, just to hit on it a little bit before I close, before the Lord says, saying we finish it next week. But the Christian age is called the sunlight age. And we're not talking about the S-U-N light. We're talking about the S-O-N light. Now, notice you had the starlight age where you know it's God. He's nothing but God. But he didn't reveal his full plan and full will to mankind. Well, obviously, he didn't have to at that particular time. This is the man is on the earth. He's giving them commandments. They know right and wrong. We know Moses knew his will. Noah knew his will, because the Bible says Noah found favor in God's eyesight. So God was doing enough for people to have faith in him. But they, for some reason, they chose to disobey God. Then we get to the moonlight age where God revealed in Moses. He tells Moses to go up to the mountain. He calls out his 10 commandments. He writes them with his own finger. And he brings them down. And Moses reads the law to the people. They read the full Old Testament to all the people. And they sit still and heard the will of God. And many of them, if you look in Deuteronomy, you'll see many, they cried and said, oh, yes, we will obey all of these laws because we want all of God's blessings. You know, there's a phrase that goes, talk is cheap. And it really is. You know, and I have to catch myself a lot of time. You know, we in church service, we just as holy as we want to be. You know, I said we. I was sitting up there a few moments ago when Brother Pastor was leading the singing. When I sing, a lot of times I like to close my eyes because I try to block things out. And I was singing. And I was just thanking God. Thank you, God. Thanking God. Thanking God in the spirit. I'm going to tell you, you can get out of the spirit real fast. People get you out of the spirit. You go in atmospheres. They just break. They just and you, as holy as you are, you can walk somewhere, get somewhere. Lord have mercy. That's why we all need to stay humble as we try to make heaven our home. And as much as we read in the Old Testament and we see how they kept disobeying God, we just better say, well, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. If I was back there, I'd probably been doing something. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I'm not under the old law. See, when you get to sunlight, it refers to Christ. He's the author, the originator. Notice, he's the author, the originator, and finisher, completer of our faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Hebrews 12, 2, fixing our eyes. Everybody say on Jesus. The author now. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let us know this now. So you got to see God, Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus has always been a part of the plan. And God in all of his mercy and all of his grace and all of it. It's not that God needs us, but God wants to have this relationship with all of us. But it's a voluntary relationship. It's like when we choose to have children. And you know and I know. I'm going to tell you something. You know, when you have children, you can just get ready. You're going to have a bunch of headaches. I'm skeptic to say this for our young parents in here. Maybe y'all need to escort yourself out of here for a second. I don't want to discourage you, but you still you need to wake up being real. I know you are. But see, when you have children, you automatically know that they're gonna bring some joy. A song that Maze used to sing. And some pain. Amen, somebody. I mean, you absolutely know that. But, well, let me ask you a question. Why are you bringing them here then? Why you keep having those babies? Because you want that relationship. I'm going to tell you something. I can't imagine being in my home and not having children. And I know everybody can't have children physically. You know, some people adopt children. But I love kids. You get in the house, no children in there, no noise. Oh, isn't it beautiful? I wish I was in Bible hour right now. Have you ever got a hug from some children? Well, that make you live longer. I used to hug my girls all the time. They grown now. They don't like to hug as much, but, you know, we still hug. I love it when they hug me. Thank you, Daddy. But my grandbabies, oh, mercy me. When I come home, care what kind of mood I'm in, I say, well, let me get myself ready. And my grandbabies, they stay in our house right now. And when I come home, I make sure I get in a good mood. Whatever they doing, hey, I pick them up, ooh, hey. And so I got them all used to it. So every time I come home, when I hit the door, Big Daddy! And they run, and I have a routine. I pick them up. I pick two. I can't pick them all up now. But I picked two of them up, and I shake them, and they legs be swinging. They be, yeah! They start this belly laugh. Ooh, Big Daddy! And they hug me. Relationship. See, I know people can break us and, you know, but God wants, when he created Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, you know, relationship. And God wants a relationship with us. And not that he, see, you know, we feel like, I know my children are going to have some bumps and bruises, but I'm going to teach them. I'm going to train them. I'm going to put me in them. You know, we are made in God's image after his likeness. No other creature on this earth is like us. We are extra special. And God wants this relationship with us. And in this Christian age, the author, the originator, the finisher of our faith left glory to show how much he really loves us. And the scriptures would say that God so loved. Notice this. He started off speaking, revealing his will through the heads of the household in the patriarchal age. The fathers, the heads of the household. He expanded. He went from the fathers to a nation, one nation, to demonstrate his will and to demonstrate his character. Then he expands and he goes not just to one nation, but to the whole world. Everybody, he says, he so loved the world that he gave his only. You can say what you will or may. Some people, it's just something seems like sometimes God not fair. You better quit saying that. Because God is good. You need to quit complaining. You need to quit this negativity. You need to quit saying it's too hard. God has demonstrated in this sun. He shined this sun on us. So if you have any doubts that God does not care for you, and he really made it a lot easier for us, you don't have to bring bulls and goats up here every Sunday. Thank the Lord. You don't need all of that stuff. And you bring an humble spirit, an obedient, humble spirit in this sunlight age. Jesus, he said when he was on this earth in Matthew chapter 5 that he didn't come to abolish the law. See, notice this. The law was not given to the first dispensation, the law of Moses. They didn't. Now, those that were under Moses' law, they did not have the new covenant. They didn't have the new covenant. So God had a different way of revealing his will. And you need to know what age you are under to know what God's will is for you. I'm going to elaborate that more as we go through this foundational lesson series. So you will know how God wanted those that were under Moses' law to worship him, to obey him. And you will absolutely know under this Christian dispensation exactly what God wants us to do as Christians today in worshiping him in spirit and in truth and obeying his complete will. But one thing you do not forget, all of those under any age who were disobedient to the will of God, God spared them not. And he will not do, don't you think that on your good looks, don't you think that, well, I don't know. I don't know is not an excuse today. Especially today. With all of these Bibles and the internet and all of this information and all the people, there is no excuse for you not knowing the will of God. So faith comes by and hearing by Romans 10:17. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently. You see, you're not going to accidentally fall into heaven. No, it's not going to happen. He says, Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell your neighbor to accept unless you repent. That means you have to do something about your sins. Thank the Lord that I don't have to do nothing about your sins. But I tell you what, I got to do something about mine. And you don't know what mine are, and I don't know what yours are. But when you're going to be pleasing to God, you have to change your mind. You can't say God's going to have to take me just like I am because he won't. Until you repent. You must confess. You can't be ashamed that you're a child of God. If you're a young person, you're old enough to understand right from wrong, you can't be ashamed that you're a Christian. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Jesus said this, before my Father which is in heaven. Then he says, whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, you're ashamed, you don't talk about me, you won't know about me, I'll deny before my Father who is in heaven. And then you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness, for the remission of all of your sins. That's your obedient act. Some people say, baptism is an outward sign of inward belief. And I don't know where they read that in the Bible. Because baptism is an act of faith. It's an obedient act that we do to obey God so God can wash away all of our sins. And maybe you're here today and you need to be baptized. You need to do just that. Notice this. These steps that I've just given you, they didn't have to do under the old law.
That's right.
Under the Old Testament, under the Mosaical age, under the moonlight age, but under the sunlight age, he is the author of eternal salvation, according to Hebrews 5:9, to all them that obey him. And so he leaves us something to do, but God is going to do his part. You hear, you want to be a Christian? You want to be baptized in this sunlight age where God has revealed all of his testimonies, all of his commandments to us? Then you can do that today. You can do it right now as we stand and sing the song.
When the Savior calls, I will.